Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. My name is Christian Redshaw, and as always, my co-host today is Mr. Dominic Vogel. Dominic, we have a fantastic guest today. Tell us who it is.
I'm pumped to have my good friend Mike Castro, who is the founder and the virtual CISO at RiskAware. He's based in the Greater Toronto area. He has a wealth of knowledge. You know, he's been in the IT cybersecurity arena almost as long as I've been alive. So not to make him feel old, but he is a true seasoned vet in the space, and I think it's going to be a fantastic combo.
Awesome. So let's get right to that conversation. We will bring Mike on, and we'll be right back.
Mike, thank you so much for joining Christian and I today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to chat with the two of us.
Hey, happy to be here, guys.
It's so good to finally be able to talk to you, Mike. We want to get to know you a little bit more, and especially for our business audience to be able to connect with you both professionally and personally. Can you just tell us just a really quick summary version of your story? How did you get into cybersecurity and where your journey has taken you to get to here?
For sure, although it's never a quiet and short story, but I started down this path professionally 21 years ago, starting in the oil and gas sector out in Alberta way, and have kind of wound my way through the corporate world through those 21-year journey, through financial, retail, oil and gas, as I mentioned, and now as founder of RiskAware, which is a standalone cybersecurity boutique. The funny story is my cyber journey actually started when I was 11 years old, when I met one of the founders of ISC Squared at the time, and knew nothing about security, but kind of haunted me until I decided to finally venture into the field way back.
So just to bring it on before I pass it to Dominic here, what is it you're actually doing for your clients, and what kind of companies are you working with now?
For sure. So I am right now helping small, medium businesses, mostly in the cyberspace out here in Ontario, really trying to help them build a cybersecurity presence, better to understand what their needs are, and to feel the journey, as we know, the minefield journey through the cybersecurity space.
Awesome.
Mike, it's funny, though. I love even how our relationship started, in which, it was just a random connection on LinkedIn. And, we ended up developing a relationship, and it's funny, you and I have only met once, but yet, yeah. And I'm getting choked up talking about it, I guess, but, it's funny, the cybersecurity community as a whole, for us, platforms like LinkedIn have been fantastic to be able to meet and work with other people outside of our own geographical boundaries. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, what are you seeing in terms of platforms like LinkedIn as being a way to connect with, not just prospects or other clients, but maybe other partners or strategic partners? How is it that businesses can better use the platform, even just in your own experience?
Yeah, so I think, the emergence of social media platforms have been fantastic. I think from a personal perspective, we've really kind of grown out of the early days of MSN Messenger, and ICQ, if I remember the good old days, into, Facebook and, Twitter and all the likes. But LinkedIn really has been a great tool, not only from a professional aspect and really growing that audience and really being able to touch a lot of people and have some really great conversations with people like yourself, of course, and others, but really as a platform to help share everything that I have learned through the years and everything that I'm learning as I still go and share those with everyone and be able to have that communication with them. Big fan of LinkedIn, lots of parts of it. I think a lot of people really, truly don't appreciate in those hidden gems that exist in there.
Yeah, no, and that's so true. I'm just so grateful because of LinkedIn. You and I have this great friendship, and it's funny that a lot of people will talk about the need in which can relationships blossom outside of, you know, not being having physical proximity. And I think that's, you know, platforms like LinkedIn demonstrate that absolutely they can and flourish. And I think, you know, sort of bringing this back into from a client work perspective, and, you know, doing VCSO work like you do, I think that's being able to help people understand that you don't need someone on site all the time to do the work or to serve as a chief information security officer or to provide security leadership. All that can be done virtually. I'm curious, you know, like when you're going out and meeting clients and that type of thing, is there a worry or concern from a lot of these organizations that what you'll be doing is mostly virtual? Do they want to see you sort of in the office all the time?
No, not at all, Dominic. It's amazing how technology today, especially with video conferencing, with email, and of course with the good old-fashioned telephone, has really allowed us to stay in contact and stay in direct connection with clients. I have clients and meet with people from all over North America. And, you know, what is great about that is absolutely the meeting and in-person pieces go hand in hand with those relationships. But so much of the work can be done remotely. And quite honestly, you know, the clients and those that I talk to really don't see distance as being a hindrance. It really is something that, you know, the technology allows us today to really make good benefit of the tools to be able to stay in touch, to feel like we're practically there. You know, the events of going on of COVID-19 and all the quarantining has really shown the value now of how organizations, even with groups and teams that have traditionally sat side by side in organizations, can do the same thing through tools like Zoom or LinkedIn or, you know, even Link Teams. And, you know, and so being a part of that is just another face on a screen now, as opposed to, you know, being that one person that was remote. So it really is a fantastic medium, and really, you know, I don't see, and I've never had any complaints from those that I work with about distance.
One more question I'll ask before handing the talking stick back to Christian is on that same vein. During, you mentioned sort of the COVID situation. What you know, I know some of that we're seeing a lot is many small and mid-sized organizations saying, you know, we're going to survival mode. We can't focus. We can't deal with cybersecurity right now. We'll deal with it when things are better. You know, something which is a secure practitioner, and I find very difficult to try and process. But are you seeing something similar in the Greater Toronto Area area, and as well as, you know, to our listeners and to our viewers, what would you say in terms of, you know, cybersecurity and survival mode? Is cybersecurity something that you can just deal with only on a sunny day?
You know, as a practitioner who's been in the cyberspace a long, long time, it always has been a battle of where cybersecurity fits within organizations in terms of their priorities, their budgets, and the like. You know, what's been happening now has really shown where, you know, a lot of decisions, a lot of things really have to be made quickly and efficiently. And, you know, once again, it seems to be very easy for cyber to kind of slip through the cracks a bit in terms of priorities. But the unfortunate thing right now, though, is that cybersecurity is actually a big risk right now. As we look at what's happening in our quarantined and our remote working worlds that we're in now, the cybersecurity threats have not taken a break. And if anything, they vastly have accelerated and are trying to take advantage both directly as increased phishing around COVID and remote tools and pieces on there, but just the sheer numbers, because they know that organizations are really running very quickly and by the seat of their pants. And, you know, between their employees being remote with new tools that they haven't been trained up on, with, you know, the opportunities to not be able to patch systems because they're not in the office and on necessarily on a network, a lot of opportunity is there for the abuse. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that organizations, you know, are not kind of feeling that pain. And, you know, I'm hoping that more and more organizations, as you know, everyone's settling in now to the remote piece, that the cyber piece starts to come back within the organization's sights to say, now we need to focus back on doing the cyber, because really that piece has not taken a vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an offshoot of that, Mike, is something that we hear on a fairly consistent basis. What would you say to organizations, considering that you're dealing with now the smaller and the mid-sized organizations, what would you say to business leaders that say, IT is handling that, so I'm just going to put that over to my IT guy or our IT department or our outsourced managed IT service provider, and then focus on those things that we're prioritizing now in this sort of strange pandemic time. What would you say, how would you delineate the difference between what you're doing all the time and what their IT guy is doing?
For sure. I mean, I've had a background in IT for even longer than I've been in cybersecurity. And, you know, we tremendously, you know, organizations, SMBs and enterprises alike, rely heavily on the capabilities of the technology and therefore the people that really helped run it. And that has a fundamental important role in everything that's happening today.
Absolutely.
For small and medium businesses, though, a lot of those organizations really rely on small teams. And a lot of those teams, as you mentioned, Christian, are outsourced or are, you know, very much stretched right now with the capacities of doing everything else. I think where cybersecurity fits in is, you know, it is very much a discipline within IT, much like networking or servers or architecture or other pieces within IT that really needs that special care of practitioners that really are well-versed in that space. You know, a lot of times organizations can fall into the trap of believing that, you know, security is solved by tools, is solved by mm-hmm. by simply initiating some technology, you know, much like they'd buy other technology. And, you know, once in, it can be forgotten and left alone. And unfortunately, that's not the case. We rely heavily on governance, on policy, on training, and on expertise and specific skill sets that, you know, where a cybersecurity analyst or a security practitioner, you know, like ourselves, that really need to be able to find the bridge between the technologies that exist, the technologies that might not exist, and should be brought forward as recommendations or opportunities, you know, along with the non-technical pieces, and really the building the strength of the people and the strength of the processes as well. I always say that it's people, process, and technology, you know, that makes up IT, and absolutely that is a fundamental term, but it never more has a role than it does within cybersecurity, and really covering all aspects of that triad, you know, to make sure those organizations. So for those SMBs, I say, you know, that's great, but really there's opportunity to strengthen that up with that expertise to help, you know, make sure that the right things are being done within those organizations.
Mm-hmm. It's to me, it's the top of the pyramid is the information that vital data to the business. And you've got the information systems and IT that support that, which supports the business. And then we're coming along in cybersecurity to support both IT and the business, just to make sure that that information is kept confidential, available, and it's not tampered with and seen by people who should not have access to it.
Absolutely.
Mike, well, you know, we're running low on time here. I wanted to ask one more quick question here of you. Again, with small and mid-sized businesses, you know, there was sort of the security issues that they should have focused on pre-COVID. Now some new ones have emerged during sort of the COVID stage. What are sort of the one or two risk areas or cyber risk areas that small and mid-sized business owners or small and mid-sized business leaders should be aware of, sort of given the new current situation that in terms of these new cyber risks, what in your mind are maybe one or two of those new areas?
So I think if I had to pick two right now for organizations to really, really focus on where we're in this special pandemic would be twofold. One would be on email. Email has always been, or at least for the last few years, has been the number one source for malware and security attacks within organizations. And that email now is just flowing with even more attacks and more phishing. And I'd say for sure, email, focusing on email, making sure not to click on those links, making sure to understand the true validity of the senders is paramount. But the second piece, of course, stems to what we already mentioned, which is the remote worker. And, you know, as more and more of us are relying on our remote systems, on connecting through third-party video conferencing software, and on using or not using VPNs to connect, we really have to focus on our machines. We need to make sure that we are keeping them patched, even when we're at home. And we need to make sure that we are relying on the security features that are in the tools that we're using, much like the security settings within Zoom or on Teams, you know, still using the passwords for meeting invites and for our group meetings, and to ensure that we are using a VPN. If we have a VPN and the organization has that, great way to stay with encrypted traffic and making sure that, you know, we don't fall trapped to possibly those weaknesses that employees might have within their own home networks and their own wireless systems that may not be up to the same standard as you know, their networks that are back at work. So home systems, email.
Brilliant advice from a brilliant man. We really appreciate the chat, Mike. And before we let you go, what is the best way for, if some of our viewers want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. And you know, number one way we've talked about it, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. You know, find me on LinkedIn. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone. Just drop me a line or a message. But if you want to come visit our site, www.riskaware.ca.
Awesome. Mike, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with Christian and I today. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure to connect with you
Christian
today,
Mike. Christian and Dominic, great talking to both of you.
Dominic, I really enjoyed that conversation with Michael. Such an easy person to talk to, and he just seems like such a great guy on both a professional and a personal level.
Yeah, I know, and he has such interesting insight because, you know, he was in charge of cybersecurity for a very large corporate organization, and now he works for small and mid-sized organizations. So, you know, he's really seen the full gamut of cybersecurity over the past 20 years or so. So he has just such a wealth of knowledge and such incredible insight that I very much hope that our viewers appreciate it. And I think the one interesting takeaway was, again, when we're talking about the current situation that organizations find themselves in during the COVID crisis, that cybersecurity can't be ignored. You know, we organizations need to include it as part of survival mode. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree. Thanks so much for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv, or you can find the playlist of Cybersecurity Matters on the Conversations That Matter YouTube channel, or you can listen to us wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. And we look forward to seeing you next week.